This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast, the round two recap of the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship. I'm Greg Ducharme. Joining me tonight is Doug Bell. Doug, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, Greg, doing great. After watching now for 2 days, the situation down in the Dominican Republic, I want to go. Let's get everybody together. Let's get Rick and Kyle, Jacob, our producer. Let's get everybody to go down to the Dominican Republic and play that place. It looks incredible, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, I was talking to Mark about this a little bit last night. There's something about golf in the islands, and this place especially. You're watching and you know these players. It means so much to these players. This group of players, they're probably playing for more than, aside from a major. I mean, these guys are playing for everything. It means a lot. But when you watch them play down there, for some reason, it feels so relaxed just watching on TV. And I'm with you. I'm with you, Doug. I want to go. There's no question about it. It reminds me of my honeymoon, which is just so peaceful and quiet. And so I'm in. You want to set that up? You let me know the dates and I'm in going down to the Dominican Republic. But we have had some really impressive golf, Doug. We have Hudson Swafford, the solo leader at 12 under par. On a major medical exemption. Yeah. He shot 65, 67 for his opening two rounds. He's one of those players you know how talented he is. You're just waiting for him to pop up. What did you make of his round today? What impresses you with this guy as a player?
Well, not a surprise. A winner on the PGA Tour at the American Express a few years back. Another one of those talented guys from the University of Georgia. Has had some injury problems as of late, and he has two more tournaments after this to get 105 FedEx Cup points. So if you win this week, you take care of that in one swoop, and basically you set yourself up for an incredible season. So I think Hudson Swafford apparently is healthy, Greg, and he's a really good ball striker, and he's a guy who can get hot and keep it together. So we'll see if he can perform on the weekend. I know that's what he has his sights set on. I mean, if he does well this weekend, hey, it's going to be a really, really good season for Hudson Swafford.
I heard him in his post-round presser yesterday talking about his journey to this point. And he was talking about how he was getting a little frustrated with his game and things were a little bit edgy and he wasn't having a lot of fun out there. And he took a little bit of time after the Safeway Open where he did make the cut, but it wasn't a great performance. And he reset mentally. He did a little bit of work with his mental coach, Brett McCabe. I don't know if you're familiar with Brett, but he is fantastic. Does a lot with the Alabama football team as well. Yeah. And so he gets together with Hudson. They kind of reset mentally. And here we are. He's your 36-hole leader and 12 under par. It's been fantastic to watch. The other thing I really like about Hudson in the approach is he's talking about how much they've been working on his speed, how good his speed has been the past 2 days. And as you know, Doug, when a player has their speeds under control, it's something to watch out for.
Yeah, and when a player's healthy too, I mean, if anything is going on with a golfer, whether especially their back or their shoulder or their elbow, any joint situation, Brooks Koepka, you know, the knee, the hip, if you're not 100%, it's hard to go out there against these great players. I mean, it really, really is. And guys try because there's so much on the line week in and week out, and they don't want to sit out because, you know, this could be the week. But sometimes you have to just sit back and let your body recover. And I think that's what Hudson Swafford has done. And, Greg, as you hit on there, these guys, it's not only a physical game, but it's mental. So much is in between the ears for all of them. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau and all the great ones, they all have to get it right upstairs. And so we'll see. Hopefully Hudson Swafford, it looks like physically he's there, and hopefully he'll keep that mental grind going because, as you know, if you haven't been in the fire for a while, sometimes those nerves kind of kick in, especially late on a Sunday. So we'll see how Hudson handles the pressure.
It's amazing what a night's sleep can do to a golfer. I mean, I definitely trust the work that he and Brett have done. So I think he does have some staying power. I like the approach this week. I think this is a venue you can kind of come in it. Almost, it's a great place to reset, kind of relax and almost unwind, even though it as serious as it is out there, it would be huge for him. But in the group behind him, Doug, you mentioned how many great players there are that can catch you if you're not in top form. And you have kind of a mixed bag behind him. There are three players at 10 under par, two shots back. Justin Suh, who is a young gun coming out of college. He's in the Morikawa class and the Hovland and Wolf class. Maybe the forgotten guy at this point in that group. Then you have Sean O'Hare, who's a veteran, the complete opposite. He's been around for a long time, contended in players' championships. He has been a great player on the PGA Tour for years, and Luke List, who kind of sits in the middle of that, an elite driver of the golf ball, who's getting himself in the mix. So of these players at 10 under, who interests you the most in that group?
Well, first off, Sean O'Hare still has an incredible golf swing. One of the really outstanding golf swings on the PGA Tour, but he's the old veteran, isn't playing as much anymore, doesn't get in all the events anymore. So I don't know if he has the staying power to stay up there. Luke List certainly does. As you mentioned, he is a long hitter. You know, I was walking with him a few years back when Justin Thomas beat him in that playoff at the Honda Classic. Luke List has had opportunities to win in the PGA Tour, and I think he is going to win someday. It could happen this week. And remember, he went out this year, didn't get in the PGA Tour event, and then went out and won the Korn Ferry. I mean, he wanted to play, and he went out and was very impressive in that win. So I kind of like Luke List. I think he's a guy who has a lot of game. But you mentioned Justin Suh, the young man, 23 years old. He was the number one amateur in the world. And when they held that press conference for those guys, you know, Matthew Wolf and Colin Morikawa, and there's Justin up there as well with those guys. And then a wrist injury just set him back. Literally put him on the shelf for an entire year as he saw all these other players that he thought he was better than those guys. And, of course, we've seen all the success for Hovland and Wolf and obviously Morikawa. But Justin said he went out just a couple of weeks ago and played with Colin and beat him in an 18-hole match, which gave him a lot of confidence. And now playing on a sponsor's exemption, yeah, it wouldn't shock me. You know, you and I think the golfing world knows about this young guy. But if he goes on to win this week, would not be a shock to me in the least. And you know what was interesting, Greg? When he hurt his wrist, he changed his golf swing. He said he was going at it at such an angle, he was putting so much pressure on his wrist. He went out and changed his swing and took him a long time to get a new swing. So very, very interesting story, that young man.
If you're not familiar with that golf swing of Justin Suh, you should check it out because it's pretty pure. I mean, I'm with you on Sean O'Hare. I love watching that swing. I hope to see him. If he gets a victory this week, I think we'd see a lot more Sean O'Hare, which is a pleasure because he's great to watch. But Justin too, not a guy to forget. That's an awesome golf swing. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you, when you're playing against a guy like Colin Morikawa in a non-tournament and you beat him in just an 18-hole match, what does that do for your confidence? Do you think that kind of confidence has any staying power when you go and play in a tournament? Or do you think it's like he understands, hey, this is one round and it's a completely different ball game when the lights turn on?
Boy, what a great question. I think in the case – well, listen, when you're out there and you watch these guys, they are super ultra competitive. Yeah. I mean, nowadays when you and I go out and play with our friends, right, it's fun. You hit a good shot, you hit a bad shot, you exchange a few dollars here and there after the round, it's not a big deal. You go out and have a brewski. But I think for these guys, when they play a match like that, they're dead serious, and they want to beat the other guy. And I think in Justin's case, I think it has given him confidence. I mean, he mentioned that in an interview that he did pre-tournament. He talked about he beat Colin in an 18-hole match, and that really gave him the confidence heading into this week. So yeah, Greg, I think it's a big deal. I really do. It's only one 18-hole match, but listen, when those guys grind it out, they're going at each other.
Well, they're definitely contemporaries going back to their college days. So you have to know it's not just, well, hey, I beat them in one 18-hole match. I've competed with these guys. Right. And look at all the success they're having at the very highest level of the game. I mean, Matthew Wolf has two top five finishes in the two majors that he's played in. And Colin Morikawa has won a major. And Victor Hovland has been far from a slouch himself. So it's very, very interesting to see what they do. All of those players, really interesting stories. But I think when you're heading into a week like this, some of the real key stories and the fun ones to watch, and the reason why, you know, my attention is drawn to the to this event, you have a player like Will Zalatoris. You have a player like Akshay Bhatia. These are players that do not have full status on the PGA Tour, and they're trying to make a name for themselves, and they have this golden opportunity in front of them. Will Zalatoris, who we here at the First Cut were very, very high on heading into the week, especially myself, he makes the cut, 300 par. Akshay Bhatia shoots 73, misses a long birdie putt. So he shot 69 today, 69 yesterday, 73 today, and unfortunately misses the cut. But he's got to be riding a little bit of confidence. What do you make of these two young players? And what do you think this kind of event does for them going forward, especially if you're Akshay, right? You have a top 10 at the Safeway. You come here and miss the cut. Are you learning something here? Or where do you think they are? What do you think are their main takeaways?
Well, I hope they're learning a lot. And I think they are, even with a missed cut. It's an opportunity. I mean, you go from a top 10, which earns you the spot this week, and then you go out and you don't get the job done. So, yeah, you're disappointed. But I think that's something to build on, certainly. I mean, he's 18 years old. Good gracious. The one thing I've noticed about him when I'm out there and he's on the range, number one, he's a great young guy, and he's fun to talk to. I mean, he's a teenager, right? But he's got a lot of people around him. I mean, he's got a swing coach, and he's got a mental coach out there, and he's got another guy who works him out, and he's got people who handle his bookings and his sponsorships. So I think that's a lot to handle for a young person. I really do. I mean, you're not just out there playing in a tournament. I mean, you're answering to a lot of people. So I think that is a big time adjustment for him. And as for Will, I mean, what a phenomenal run he's been on. But you know, I thought it was interesting. He has been so great on the Korn Ferry Tour, and then played so exceptionally well at the United States Open, and then comes in as the favorite over all the PGA Tour guys. I mean, that was incredible. That is very rare. And I just had a feeling, with all that had been written and said and talked about him, that he might have a little bit of a letdown, especially after the U.S. Open. I mean, after an exhausting week, I thought he might let the air out of the balloon just a little bit. And I think that is what has happened to Will this week.
Do you think making the cut, kind of sliding under the tag, getting in right on the number, playing a Saturday morning round, do you think that relieves any of the pressure of coming in? I entered as the favorite. I made the cut, but everybody knows at this point I'm probably not going to win the event. Do you think that kind of relieves a little bit of pressure from him going forward for Saturday and Sunday?
I do. And I think he'll go out tomorrow, could potentially shoot a really low number because, you know, the atmosphere at this event is almost like a Korn Ferry atmosphere. I mean, we don't have fans anyway right now because of the situation we've been in for many weeks. But at the same time, this is kind of a Korn Ferry setup, or at least it reminds me of that. And the Korn Ferry guys play a lot down in the Dominican Republic. They play quite a few tournaments there. So I think Will is familiar with that. I think he'll go out tomorrow and play loose and free and potentially go really low. Of course, a lot is dependent on the weather. They've been very lucky with the wind or lack thereof. They are getting some overnight rains, which are softening things up. So I think, yeah, Greg, I think that could all add up to a real little number for him tomorrow, especially going out early with the greens are really good.
I'm interested to see what happens with morning and afternoon when and we're going to take a second and talk a little bit about who we like going forward. But one of the things I look at is what's the difference between morning and afternoon. And from what I saw, there wasn't a whole lot of wind in the afternoon, which is kind of customary. And I know this event's being played at a different time of year, but typically in the afternoon on the coast, the wind starts to pick up. So tomorrow, if you're Will Zalatoris and you're sitting at 300 par, you go shoot 62 tomorrow and you get yourself to 13 under. I know that's a huge ask. It would be a great round. It'd be the best round of the tournament. It would be the best round of the tournament so far. And then all of a sudden you still find yourself a shot back. But what happens with the leaders, this Hudson Swafford and the group at 10 under, do they have to deal with heavy winds? And if they do, you could get yourself back in the mix. But unfortunately, I think that lead is going to expand a little bit tomorrow. And I think that may be, there it is. Jacob says afternoon played 0.2 strokes harder. Wow. So not much of a difference today. And there wasn't much of a difference yesterday either. So very interesting. But Doug, our defending champ, Graham McDowell, misses the cut. Game's been kind of in rough shape for him. I just want to mention, because as the defending champ, only two made cuts since the restart. What do you think's going on with Graham McDowell? What are you looking for him going forward? Is he a player you're interested in, or do you think that that win was kind of his last one?
Well, yeah, I don't think it was his last one. I think the win a year ago certainly turned his career around, and it put him in good form. And before the COVID shutdown, you know, he was playing some pretty good golf and had worked his way in position to potentially get on the Ryder Cup team. And I remember we had him on an interview on CBS Sports HQ where he was really excited about that. But then, of course, everything has kind of changed. And since the professional tour has returned after the COVID shutdown, he has not played well. So I think he's disappointed where his game is right now. So we'll see. A lot of golf to be played, Greg. Wow. I mean, every week there's just another tournament rolling around. So GMAC is going to have his opportunities. But I think you're right. You know, it's hard to hit that switch. And if you look at his numbers right now, he's trending really in the wrong direction.
I look at him as a player. Last year, he was trying to get into the Open Championship, and that was right. And then, and you mentioned the Ryder Cup. So there's a couple of these targets that he really wanted to get into. The Open was in Northern Ireland, of course, and so he really wanted to make sure that he got into that event. And the inspiration is there, and the fire is there. And at his age, it's not that you're incapable. We just saw Stuart Sink pull off a win, but you almost find yourself in no man's land, as I call it, where you're a long way away from PGA Tour champions. It's not an option, not something you quite have your mindset on. Yet you're looking at some of these young kids coming out and saying, "How can I, how can I compete?" So it's an interesting spot to be in. But they always seem to prove me wrong. Those veterans always seem to prove me wrong. But we got some odds heading into the weekend, and this is where it's really fun. You have an opportunity to kind of make some hay here. So we're going to handicap a couple. We're going to pick a couple guys who we like heading into the weekend. But first, let's take a break and hear a word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. Okay, Doug, heading into the weekend, Hudson Swafford, we have him here at 7-1. We got Luke List at 8-1. Mackenzie Hughes is 9-1. Then you go down to Sam Burns at 12-1. Is there anybody here, kind of a favorite? Sepp Straka, 14-1. Justin So, as we mentioned, also 12-1. Anybody here that we mentioned who really strikes your interest, who you're thinking is going to have a great weekend?
Well, yeah, a couple of guys. Number one, Sepp Straka, by the way. I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and he lives here, which is great. His girlfriend lives here, so he moved here, and I see him all the time. And he works with Mark Blackburn out of Greystone. I know you know Mark, who works with a lot of PGA Tour pros. So I hope he has a good weekend. I just want to throw that out. But the guy I really like is Mackenzie Hughes. You know, made it to the Tour Championship with that incredible up and down from the bunker on the 72nd hole there at the BMW, finished strong, had a really solid season. And I think Mac is in a position to take that next step and get another win. He has won. It was a few years ago at the RSM Classic, but I really like Mackenzie Hughes. And when you think about it now, we've talked a little bit about it. Last season in the fall schedule, 8 of the 10 winners made it to the Tour Championship. And this year we have 12 tournaments. So, you know, a few more opportunities. And then at the end of the fall season, the top 30 in the FedEx Cup points, half of those guys made the Tour Championship. So, I mean, these are big tournaments. You don't realize what these guys are playing for, and they know it. And Mackenzie Hughes knows it. So I kind of like the Canadian. I think he's going to have a big weekend.
The other thing, Doug, you mentioned how he got into the how he got himself into the Tour Championship. And that this year was it was almost like winning a tournament. Getting into the top 30 was almost like winning a tournament. You don't get the 2-year exemption, but you get into the US Open, you get into the Masters in April, you get into the Century Tournament of Champions. So for Mackenzie Hughes, this has got to be kind of a, like, it's almost like you're playing with house money here. You've got your schedule set for this year. You're in great shape going forward. And I think he's going to freewheel it a little bit and have a great performance. But the player who I really like in this spot is Sepp Straka, who you mentioned. He's he's another long hitter from Birmingham, Alabama. Works with Jeff, Mark Blackburn, as you said, who I'm a huge fan of. Extremely, he's wonderful. I've gotten a chance to speak with him a number of times, and he's wonderful. And I think you're going to see Sepp Straka go shoot a low one tomorrow. You look at what he's done, 65, 70, finds himself three shots off the pace. And I like the fact that he's going to have three straight afternoon rounds in a row, which I think is going to be really advantageous for him. So Sepp Straka is the guy that I'm looking at going forward. Anybody else strike your interest?
I like Luke List. I mean, we talked about him in the first part of the podcast. You know, Luke List is, he's got some serious power in his game, and he doesn't get mentioned with the other guys because he hasn't had as much success. But if you go out there and walk with Luke List and watch him hit a driver and a three wood, I mean, he's as long as anybody. And just, you know, as you know, and so, we'll see. You know, this golf course is one wide fairways. It's a resort course, and it's right there in the ocean. So it's got to be wide fairways, because when the wind blows 25, 30 miles an hour, you couldn't possibly get on the fairway, right? And so a guy like Luke List, I think his length can take advantage, especially if the conditions continue to be as calm as they are.
And you know what, Doug, you mentioned the wide fairways. That is exactly what he struggles with. As long as he is, he struggles with accuracy. So you give him a wide course, and all of a sudden his advantage comes to life. So I think he's a great pick. There's one other guy that I want you to keep your eye on, and it's Adam Long. Adam Long has a kind of a pretty good, pretty solid weekend record. He shot 63, 64 over the weekend at the 3M, which really impressed me. He came in eighth with a 66 on Saturday at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, tied second at Mayakoba last year, which was that's the same past Palom grass. So I'm very interested in what Adam Long does. I would say he's second on my depth chart behind Sepp Straka. And of course, you got to give Hudson Swafford the credit he deserves. But it'll be interesting to see going forward. Doug, any closing thoughts?
Well, my closing thought is there are a lot of birdies out there, and Patrick Rogers is another guy. We were talking about Justin Suh, who, you know, who's a young guy with great college credentials. Patrick Rogers, I mean, he was an incredible college player at Stanford, still has not won on the PGA Tour. And today, in the second round, he had six consecutive birdies, which matches his most ever, which was six in a row last year at the same tournament. So he likes this place, and he's eight under par. So that's just another guy I'm kind of keeping an eye on. Sooner or later, another Patrick Rogers is going to ring the bell, and it wouldn't shock me to be at a course that he likes a lot.
Long hitter, too. So I like that. I love the ceiling. I think we got five solid players.
There you go.
I wouldn't be afraid to go put a couple of shekels on. So very interesting. Doug, great to have you on tonight. Thanks for joining us. Talking about the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship. That's our round two recap. I'm Greg Ducharme. You can get me on Twitter at TheRealGFD. That's Doug Bell. You can get him on Twitter at Doug Bell Sports Guy. That's it for the First Cut. We'll be back tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.